Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
For each one of you guys today. If it wasn't for your mothers, you wouldn't be here. So thank you, Mom, for choosing life. And for the guests, welcome. But before we get into today's message, I do want to take a moment and let's pray. Let's spend a little time in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to get together with you, to worship you, to praise you. Father, as we get into your word today, may it just speak to each one of us, softening even the hardest of hearts. And Father, we ask that this morning the message and these words are your words and not my own. And if anything is said that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is the day that we take the time to honor the one human being often in our lives who unselfishly gives herself to her children time and time again without asking for anything in return. And if your life has been blessed or touched by a loving and godly mother, then you are more blessed than you ever know. And you have one of the greatest treasures in the world. This morning, the message is titled, The Love of a Mother. You see, the love of a mother is a unique kind of love. We're not able to often replicate in anywhere else. And a mother's love protects us, it guides us, and it points us towards Jesus. It's the kind of love that asks for nothing in return. It's the one that shows us no matter how bad we screwed up in life, that we are still loved, that we're still cherished. A mother may place rules in our lives to give us guidance, just as God has given us different guidelines for our own lives, not to remove joy from our lives, but to give us wisdom and guidance, to live the life that we're called to live. To live that life. We all know the common things that our mothers oftentimes telling us growing up. We've got our different phrases. But there's a few things that you probably never heard your mom say, such as, just leave the lights on, it makes the house look more cheery. You know what? Let me smell that shirt. Yeah, it's good for another day. Or, let's just leave those clothes lay there. Let's see if they pick themselves up later. And I'm guessing you've never heard your mother say any of these things, such as even, forget about your homework. We got plenty of time to do that later. My mom never said those things. In fact, it was probably the exact opposite on each one of those. And I'm assuming you never heard your mom say any of these things. But moms often make some of those biggest sacrifices for their children. They're the ones that others often are not willing to make to protect their children, even if it means mothers are willing to do stuff, even if it means hurting themselves in the long run. Because if it puts them in a position to help the child, they'll often do it. They'll endure sleepless nights from the moment that we're born, all the way up to the point that we miss curfew. And they're sitting there waiting for us on the chair. They'll hold us as we cry as a baby, and then they'll also be there for us as teenagers as we discover our first heartbreaks. They watch us stumble and fall as we begin to walk, and they watch us stumble and fall as we get older, yet they're right there beside us to guide us. They push us to be better people, allowing us to make mistakes, yet are always within arm's reach. Oftentimes, a mother is the first one we argue with in life, especially when the child learns the word no. They're often the referee between us and siblings. And most importantly for us, they're often the ones that first introduce us to Jesus and give us that opportunity. A godly mother shows us what it means to have faith and to walk it out, and show us how we are called to live. I was blessed with parents that initiated and instilled scripture into me at a young age. I was shared even the little stories of Adam and Eve, Noah and the flood, Jonah and the whale. I was shared all the way up until the Jesus on the cross. And I'm blessed for that. Sometimes it may not even have been our biological mothers that fit these roles, but other women that God has placed, that has placed in our lives to represent Christ, our grandmas, our aunts, or that nice lady down the road. But most of us have had someone in our lives that have shared Jesus in a special way with us. So, this morning I want to share one of my favorite passages. Excuse me one second. Scott, can you turn the monitors off behind me? Thank you. I want to share one of my favorite stories in the Bible when it comes to mothers. It's a mother that placed the child of her child's life above her own, who made some difficult choices, that even though it would be a difficult decision to make, she trusted God and used that trust and faith to do something incredible. Her selfless love and sacrifice made possible the exodus of God's people from slavery. She literally changed the course of a nation, all because the faith and love of a mother. In the beginning of Exodus, we find the story of Moses and his mother. We see it stands out as one of the greatest mothers in scriptures. Exodus 2:1 says, "Now a man from the family of Levi married a Levite woman. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months." Now, how many of you mothers would want to hide your child for 3 months after you were born? No, that's not what we want to do. Instead, what we want to do is we want to go out and share this great joy with the world around us. We want to show the good news of this child that we've been given. We see social media completely filled up all over the place when there's a baby born. Yet for some reason, she couldn't at that moment. But why is she hiding? Well, if you look at Exodus chapter 1, we read an account of Pharaoh who wanted to have all the Hebrew male babies born, killed off. He even went as far as to tell the midwives that if a Hebrew woman gives birth, the girl, she may live, but if it's a boy, they have to kill it on the spot. Thankfully, the midwives refused. It tells us in Exodus 1:17 that the midwives, however, feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had told them, and they let the boys live. This, of course, upset Pharaoh. They came up with all types of excuses to Pharaoh and telling him why they couldn't do this. They even went as far as to tell Pharaoh that the Hebrew women were too strong to give birth before the midwives could get there. So basically, they were giving birth before the midwife could get there, and the midwife didn't have the chance to kill the child. So Pharaoh commanded all of his people, the Egyptians, to throw out every son born to a Hebrew into the Nile River. They're to go and just pitch them. Now, if we go back to the verse earlier, Exodus 2:2, we can clearly see why she would have to hide her child for 3 months and why she would have done this. This could not have been an easy task. Can you guys think of back when, for special for you moms and dads who've had children, can you think back onto those first 3 months of their lives? The sleeplessness, the constant crying of the child. And yet here they are trying to keep baby Moses hidden. And the amount of sleepless nights that would have gone over this. And the amount of time watching over the baby. It tells us in 2:3 that, but when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with asphalt and pitch. She placed that child in it, and she set it among the reeds at the bank of the Nile. She sent him there to make sure he couldn't float away. She put him right there in the reeds so that he wouldn't just float away, but he was still out of sight. See, the Egyptians would have been looking in with the other Hebrews and so forth for these young babies, and this would have hid him away. But what a choice that would have been to make. To have to put your child out there in the river itself, right on the edge, for protection. It was a sacrifice that Moses' mom was willing to make to protect her son. In Hebrew, it tells us that Moses' parents did this out of faith and love of God. Throughout the Bible, though the Bible doesn't explicitly say it, I believe it's safe to say that Moses' parents spent many nights in prayer over how to protect their child. After she had placed her son, the Bible tells us in verses 5 through 6, Pharaoh's daughter went down to bathe at the Nile, and while her servant girls walked along the riverbanks, she saw the basket among the reeds, and she sent her slave girl, and she took it. She opened it, and she saw him, the child, and there he was, a little boy crying, and she felt sorry for him and said, "This is one of those Hebrew boys." I'm sure it was not the plan that Moses' parents had, but God was doing something. You know, sometimes when God moves in our lives, he does it in a way that we don't expect. Here were all the little Hebrew boys being killed off, and Moses' parents are trying to figure out, how do we protect this child? And it became this unique situation. And sometimes God's plans are different than our plans. And this is where our faith comes into play. Do we trust him to take care of it? Or do we just trust ourselves? We have to learn to trust God in these unique situations, that he will work through this. And what's really interesting here is that she came down, and it tells us in Exodus 2:7 through 10, then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter. So Moses' sister was right there watching, and she says, "Should I go and call a Hebrew woman who is nursing to nurse the boy for you?" "Go," Pharaoh's daughter told her. So the girl went and called on the boy's mother. When Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse him for me, and I will pay your wages." So the woman took the boy and she nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." Now, not only did she get to continue to see her son, and did her son get to live, Moses' mom was now paid to take care of Moses instead of having him killed. It's something that her son was going to be safe. Was it the way that Moses' mom wanted to do it? Absolutely not. Most mothers don't want to see their child being raised away from home. But if it meant life or death, they made a decision that had to be made at this moment. But in the middle of that storm, God had a plan. Even if Moses' parents didn't understand at that time of what was happening. You know, we know the story continues in verse 11. Years later, after Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and observed their forced labor. He saw an Egyptian strike a Hebrew, one of his people. What this tells me is that Moses' mom had a hand handed him over to be raised in Pharaoh's daughter's house, but that was not the end of Moses getting to know his family and his heritage. It wasn't like he was just a little baby and then pushed away. The fact that he knew that the Hebrews were his family, were his heritage, shows us that they had a greater hand in it all along. Moses was given every opportunity under the sun to learn and grow. He would have had been given an education like that at the Egyptians. Yet the fact that he knew the Hebrew people shows how much that he was taught both directions. You know, parents often wonder if you're doing the right things. It can be a challenge to know if what you're teaching your kids sticks with them or if it goes in one ear and out the other. We have to remember, though, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 55, verse 11, "So my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and prosper in what I send it to do." If you have raised your children with the word of God and it is still with them, even when they make mistakes or it seems like they're walking away from God, he is still with them. After Moses grew up, he had to make a choice to go back out and spend time with his own people while he was that, or he could stay within Pharaoh's household however he wanted. During that moment when he was making a choice, he made a bad choice. He made a mistake and he killed a man out of anger and vengeance. And he had to flee Egypt because Pharaoh wanted him dead. We're going to shift gears just a little bit this morning. There comes a time in all of our lives that we have to make a choice. That we have to make a choice for Christ as a priority in our lives. We can't just count on our parents' faith, our mother's prayers. We have to start pursuing a relationship with God on our own. We have to make a decision to follow Christ, to join the family of God like Moses had to. You know, when I was in my teenage years, I was called into ministry at the age of 13. I even gave my first sermon at the age of 13. And by the time I hit 16, my life had made some massive changes. It had gone through some things I had never expected. You see, by this moment in time, my parents had got a divorce. By this moment in time, my dad, who had been my hero, had already spent his first time in jail. I remember praying and asking God, "Why would you let this happen to my life?" He had asked me to go into ministry, yet here he was destroying the life around me, everything I had known. Though I was raised with God's word, same as Moses, I made a mistake and I ran. Because let me tell you, by the time I was 17, I didn't pay much attention to God anymore. Believe it or not, at 17-year-old male, I became more focused on girls. And they became more, but I stopped spending time in prayer. I stopped reading my Bible. And by the time I turned 18, I lived as if there was no God. I turned to drinking, I turned to partying, I turned to womanizing. I ran further from God, and I felt more empty inside the more I did it. The emptier I felt inside, the more I tried to fill it with a void of this world. The more drinking, the more signing up for stuff, the more buying things, constantly trying to fill a void in my life. Yet nothing ever seemed to work, no matter how hard I tried. I'm sure some of you can actually resonate with that here today, that you have lived your life so far outside of God and you keep filling it up with things of this world, but nothing seems to fill that void. Yes, you may have those moments where something works. You get the new item, you get the new thing that you want, but it doesn't actually do it. It's a resemblance of joy, yet it's gone. You chase relationships. You chase things. You chase a status within the world we live in today. But all of it leads to emptiness and nothingness. Moses had a similar process. When he had left the Hebrews and ran away, he had wife, he had kids, he had a whole bunch of different things. It tells us in verse 22, though, I have been a resident alien in a foreign land. He still had a void in his life. He wasn't where he belonged. No matter how hard he tried, he wasn't where he belonged. And that was me too. Everything I chased in this world wasn't where I belonged. Now remember when I was in my early 20s is when I finally had enough of this empty feeling in my life. I started to recall the things that I was taught at a young age. But have you ever noticed that the longer that you run from something, the longer that you ignore an aspect of your life, the harder it is to go back to it. The harder it is to face that reality. This is especially true if you've been running from God or ignoring Him. The thought of going back to church and feeling guilty and dirty for setting foot inside of it is something that brings great shame and great weight upon you that you often don't want to face. In fact, you'll make jokes and excuses on why you can't go because you're sitting there and you know that the life you've been living isn't right. But God has called you to go there. And it's easier just to stay away and make excuses. Yeah, we go on Easter, we go on Christmas, and we may even go on Mother's Day because Mom asked us to go. But you know the basic message that you're normally going to hear on those days? You're going to hear the basic Christmas message, the Easter message. It's going to be a very simplified message normally. But you know that message. But outside of that, you don't have the energy to face what we're called to. I mean, work is piling up. You have to get to that next account. You have to get to that next closing. You have to work a little harder to get that next promotion because you need a little bit bigger house. Your car is on the brink. The family is growing. You've got more sporting activities to pay for with the children. You've got all of these excuses on why you can't go, why you can't spend that 15 minutes with God. This kid's schedule have you running in every direction. But here's the thing. You and your spouse are no longer getting along like you used to. You keep making five-year plans with a whole lot of I got this written into it. You keep trying to handle every situation in your life on your own because you're an adult now. Besides, you keep telling yourself, God knows you're busy, and ultimately you're a good person, right? That's all that really matters. And then it happens. Out of the blue one day, your mind starts wandering back to your Sunday school days, to some times you spent at youth group. Your mom reminds you that she's been praying for you and not to worry about life so much, that God's got this. And you start wondering, does God still really care? Is He really willing to take me back and help me out after everything I've done and the life that I've lived? All these things you've placed in front of Him your entire life. Will God really take me back? Here's the good news of it all. God never left. Just because you stopped acknowledging Him doesn't mean that He hasn't been working things out. It doesn't mean that He hasn't been working in your background when you least expect it. The whole time that you've been doing your own thing and ignoring God, He's been right there still. He doesn't just leave and abandon you because you went and screwed up. Just because you stopped acknowledging Him, you're made in His image. You are loved and cherished by Him. I want you to take a minute and I want you to think about this. How many times in your life did you find yourself in a situation that should have ended so much worse, but for some reason you walked away with a minor scratch in your life or a momentary inconvenience? How many times have you found yourself in that kind of situation? Yes, not everything worked out how you wanted, but if you're honest with yourself, it could have been way worse. That you put yourself into a situation and you ended up walking out almost scratch-free. That's God working in the background of your life that you never even realized. Even though you haven't acknowledged it, that's Him there. See, God is patient with us. See, after Moses killed the Egyptian out of vengeance and spent 40 years away from his family, God called him back. In chapter 3, God spoke to Moses through a burning bush, and he told him that he needs to go back to Egypt and talk to Pharaoh. And just like we make excuses and we have questions, Moses starts making excuses as well. One of the most beautiful things about the Bible, when we read these stories, I'll have people say, well, look at what they did over here. Look at what they acknowledged over here. Well, here's the beauty of it. The Bible is a story in there as well, and they're willing to admit the downfalls of the human people that we are called to look after. Moses made mistakes just like you and I do. And when God started calling him back, he says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and should bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God tells him, I will be with you. Then Moses replies again, who should I tell him sent me? And God says, tell the Hebrews, I am sent you. And if that wasn't enough, Moses asked him again, what if they don't believe me? Now, if I was God, I would be getting a little frustrated, but God was gracious, and he worked with Moses through all of his questions, and there was a bunch of them. And then Moses said one more thing. Exodus 4:10, it tells us, but Moses replied to the Lord, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent either in the past or in recent, and since you have been speaking to your servant, because my mouth and my tongue are sluggish. Let me break that down for you real quick. Basically, he's saying, I can't do it. I don't speak well. God told him, I will give you the words. And Moses again answered, Lord, just send someone else. Just send someone else. We do the same thing. We always come up with excuses on why we don't have time to spend with God, why we don't have time to spend 15 minutes in his word on a daily basis. But have you ever noticed that we can binge watch a TV show? We can sit there an entire series knocked out in one night. Or we have plenty of time to sit there and catch up onto the latest movie and so forth. But 15 minutes alone with God is too much. We have an excuse. We're adjusting the lamps. We're adjusting the windows. We are everything. The kids suddenly start yelling when they didn't yell before. The dog needs let out. We always have a reason we can't do it. Yet God is patient with each of us, just like he was with Moses. See, just as Moses thought that he could never be the one to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, we often say we can't as well. You know, you're right, we can't. There's a lot of things in life that we are called to do that we can't do on our own. But we can with God. I can't be up here preaching if it wasn't for him. Trust me, that is not my giftedness. I'm an introvert, okay? I like to be alone. I don't like standing in front of people, and God calls me to do this. But I know with him I can. God took that little baby, the one that was loved, the one that was prayed over and cried over and handed over to God and used it for something great, to rescue his people. You may think it's impossible to turn back to God today after everything you've done and all the acknowledged, all the ways that you've worked against God, and I understand that. You know, I felt the same way when God started calling me back into ministry before I said yes again. How could God still use me after everything I've done? Doesn't he know the life that I've lived and the things, the mistakes I've made? Here's the thing, he knows all of those things about you. He knows all those things about my life, but he still wants to be with you. He still wants to spend time with you. How many mothers still want to spend time with their kids even after they go off to jail, even after they've made some big mistakes? You never not see a mother still wanting to be with their child. You know, God sees you. He hears you. When you weep, God cries with us. When you triumph, he rejoices. He wants to know you fully, deeply, and intimately. Psalms 139, 1 through 2 tells us, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts. from a far away. God knows you better than you know yourself. And God has already made a way for you to return back to him. Just as God has answered all of Moses' excuses, he's got an answer for all of yours too. And for all of your sins. For John 3:16 is the simplest verse, but it says it all. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whomever would believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his son to die a sinner's death, to pay the penalty for both you and I, so that none of us would have to perish. That each one of us could have eternal life, no matter what past we've lived, no matter what life we have lived in our own. God has made a way for you to return. And you may be asking yourself this morning, why would God be willing to do that? It's simple, because he loves you. See, he doesn't care about your past. He doesn't care about what mistakes you've made. All he wants is you. In Jeremiah, it tells us, I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. It tells us in Psalms that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. In Genesis, he tells us that we are made in his image. He wants to be near you. He wants to be in relationship with you. He gave us the gift of choice. And he's already chosen you. He just wants you to choose him. He wants to be part of your daily life, not just a moment of thought every once in a while when it's convenient or when you need something. For somebody in here this morning, God is trying to get your attention. I also would be willing to bet that you've spent some time avoiding him. I'm here to tell you this morning, it's time to stop running. And it's time to face him. You're no different than Moses in the Bible. He was a real person with real doubts and fears and frustrations. And just as God has sought after him, he's seeking after you. Just like your mother has shown you love and grace, God is looking to show you love and grace. It's time. It's time to quit running. It's time to turn back. It's never too late as long as you're breathing. All you have to do is accept that free gift of salvation that is found through Christ Jesus alone. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to get together to praise and to worship you. Father, we thank you for mothers. And Father, we also want to just take a moment and acknowledge that we need you, that our hearts desire you. Even when we've been running from you, we know that you are right there with us and that you love us and you cherish us. And Father, if there's anybody here, may their hearts just be softened and be willing to say yes to you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You're on. Thank you for the way that you love us, how you love us. Thank you for the way you have made us. We were created for your pleasure, for your presence, the glory of your name. Thank you for the way that you love us. Jesus, faithful King, Lord, with grateful hearts we sing. How great is the love, how great is the love of our Savior. The weight of the cross, the curse of our shame, you carried it all, rose from the grave. How great is the love, how great is the love of our Savior, of our Savior. Thank you for the grace that has saved us, you forgave us. Thank you for the way you have freed us. We have been ransomed, been rescued, been purchased with the price of your own life. Thank you for the way that you love us. Jesus, faithful King, Lord, with grateful hearts we sing. How great is the love, how great is the love of our Savior. The weight of the cross, the curse of our shame, you carried it all, rose from the grave. How great is the love, how great is the love of our Savior, of our Savior. You love us. Thank you for the way that you love us. How you love us. Thank you for the way that you love us. How you love us. Thank you for the way that you love us. Jesus, faithful King, Lord, with grateful hearts we sing. How great is the love, how great is the love of our Savior. The weight of the cross, the curse of our shame, you carried it all, rose from the grave. How great is the love, great is the love of our Savior, of our Savior. Thank you for the way that you love us, how you love us. Thank you for the way that you love us, how you love us. Thank you for the way that you love us.
Amen. Thank God for the way that he loves us, and thank God for mothers who loved us through, let's be honest, some very difficult times in our lives at times. They are patient, sometimes amazing. But may God bless you, may he keep you, may he make his face shine upon you. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful Mother's Day. Mothers, please don't forget your flowers on the way out.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.